Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It is time for the Deep South's oldest rivalry, the preview show of Auburn and Georgia. And unfortunately, if you are an Auburn fan, this game has been dominated by Georgia since 2017. The Bulldogs are on an 8-game win streak as the last win for Auburn came at home back in 2017. And if you guys will remember, that was the same year that they faced off against one another a couple of weeks later in the SEC championship game, and Georgia started that win streak then. We will be joined by Kyle Rush on the other side of this open to talk about this game from the Auburn perspective, and then later on, we will be talking about this game from Georgia, as this is the Deep South's oldest rivalry preview show right here on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out, you're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to say War Eagle. Well, Auburn's not really warring too well right now, as Auburn is looking, if they do not win Saturday, to start the season 0-3 in conference play in a year that was supposed to be the make-it-or-break-it year for Coach Hugh Freeze down at Auburn. Welcome inside the Stingray Show. And as we wait on Kyle Rush to join us, I want to discuss and talk with you about Alabama Crimson Tide history on October the 10th, which is today. And historically, the Crimson Tide have played 6 games on October the 10th and have an undefeated record of 5-0-1 tie on this date. Now, most recently, back in 2020, on October the 10th, Alabama had a historic offensive shootout in Oxford, Mississippi, in which they won 63-48. Running back Najee Harris had a career-best day, rushing for 206 yards and tying an Alabama record with 5 rushing touchdowns on that evening. And quarterback Mac Jones threw for 417 yards and 2 touchdowns, completing 28 of 32 passes. So on this day in 2020, the COVID year, Alabama 63, Ole Miss 48. When we go back to 2009, Alabama beat Ole Miss in a defensive dominating game 22-3 over the Ole Miss Rebels, forcing four interceptions. Running back Mark Ingram ran for 172 yards and scored the game's only touchdown, and kicker Lee Tiffin hit five field goals to secure the win for Alabama in 09 against Ole Miss. When we go back to 1992, Alabama won 37-0 over Tulane on the road in New Orleans. And finally, Alabama back in 1936 had a home game at Bryant-Denny Stadium against Mississippi State, in which they won 7-0. And Joe Kilgo, who faked a punt and ran 83 yards to score the only touchdown, and Kilgo also kicked the extra point. And the one lone tie for Alabama was against Southern Miss in Birmingham back on this day in 1981. Southern Miss 13 and Alabama 13. So Alabama has had a really good run on football games on October the 10th. Now, let's welcome in and talk about the other team in the state of Alabama that is in the SEC, and things are not going well down on the plains for Auburn and Hugh Freeze, as this is year number three for Hugh Freeze down there, and everybody thought that this was going to be the make it or break it year for Hugh, and unfortunately it has gone sideways as they started off 0-2 in conference. Kyle, how are things with you in Auburn, Alabama? And we've talked about with you before, this was the make it or break it year for Hugh Freeze in Auburn, and unfortunately so far it is going sideways. What is going wrong with Auburn and Hugh Freeze on the plains?
Well, the weather here is beautiful. So hopefully maybe we can get a beautiful offensive game plan on Saturday. Look, I could point to probably a number of different reasons, and most of them are all on offense. But I feel like it's really two main things. Number one, they've just unfortunately missed on some quarterback evaluations. I think that Peyton Thorne was a good quarterback, but there were some weaknesses as far as how it fit with what Hugh wanted to do. And then I think you're seeing a lot of the same things with Jackson Arnold. So that's a tough question you have to ask. Do we have a development problem or do we have an evaluation problem? Honestly, it could be a little bit of both, but really you struggled at the quarterback position, and you've seen across the country some of the best teams in the country right now are just having phenomenal quarterback play. So that's number one. And then number two is I really think Hugh gave up on having someone else run the offense too quickly. And I will admit that I championed that move. I championed the move for Hugh to call the plays because, as he said multiple times, over the last 3 years, that he's had success everywhere he's been, and he's had a little bit of an edge at times as well. It's just, hey, I get in the flow of the game, and I'm just one of the best play callers in the country. And I don't think up until just recently many people would argue with that. But what I think is happening, and you've seen coaches like Kenny Dillingham and Eli Drinkwitz both come to the realization that with the job the way it is today, as big as it is, heck, these staffs are like upwards of like hundreds of people now. Like you manage a multi-million, tens of millions of dollar organization, and you're responsible for all of it. And then combining that with coming up with a game plan and then executing it on the field, I think it's just too much. And Kenny Dillingham and Eli Drinkwitz both recently have given up play calling. And I think Kenny was like, look, here's the deal. I couldn't be in all of the meetings I couldn't be a part of crafting the game plan. So while the plays I'm calling on Saturday might make sense, the problem is I'm not the one that put it together. So I walk out there Saturday and they hand me a play sheet. And then I'm calling a game plan that someone else thought up in their mind. So I think maybe that's a little bit what's going on, and there's just a disconnect between the game plan and then what Hugh wants to do, and it just becomes a mess. I'll say this too. I think he's got a lot of, I'm going to say, quotas going on in his head. He's thinking of play calling and roster management, I think, at the same time. I got to have X amount of touches for this person. I got to have X amount of targets for this person to keep everybody happy. And I just don't think that is a recipe for success. And that's why it looks like a complete mess on offense. And then you look at the other side of the ball and they rotate and play a ton of guys, but the product looks the same no matter who's in the game. So I could probably give you a list of, you know, 5 or 10 things that are going wrong, but basically it all points back to Hugh and organization and game planning. And I think he would tell you himself, he's falling short there right now. And they got to get something fixed, and they got to get something fixed quickly if they're going to mend some of these fences.
So, Kyle, I know that you were on a roll right there talking about Auburn, but we've got to go to our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to continue to discuss the issues that are ongoing down at Auburn and how they can fix them. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back to continue our preview of the Deep South's oldest rivalry between Georgia and Auburn right after this. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let certified chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's an 8-minute drive. Eastbound on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway. It's a 14-minute drive. South on Lurleen Wallace from McFarland to 15th Street, a 4-minute drive. Crews are doing construction on Old Birmingham Highway East between 55th Avenue and Kennedy Mill Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We are doing a preview of the Deep South's oldest rivalry between Georgia and Auburn. And our guest this evening is Kyle Rush of The Barn. And let's continue the interview with Kyle discussing what is the main issue down at Auburn and how they can fix them. Let's start with the offensive line because Auburn has given up 17 sacks in the last two games against Oklahoma and on the road against Texas A&M, and that was before this bye week. Talk about the offensive line and the struggles there, please.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, the other three games when you've been at home, I'm sorry, you had very few procedural penalties at Baylor because it's just not that loud of an environment. And then you come home and you have almost no procedural penalties. And then you go on the road and it's like you can't even figure out the snap count.
Right.
I think a lot of the issues you saw as far as protection goes are not being able to adjust to crowd noise, maybe should have gone to a silent count versus the clap cadence that everybody seems to do now. Regardless, there's definitely been a communication breakdown there on the offensive line, which I think makes everybody play a little bit slower. And I think you could probably chalk a lot of it up to that. And then you can also chalk a lot of it up to, my God, man, you're in third and eight and longer on every single drive. Like that's not a recipe for success for any offensive line, much less Auburn's. I think there was a point in time where in the Oklahoma game or the Texas A&M game where Auburn had five or six, not possessions, but it's, I guess, set of downs, five or six set of downs in a row where your second down was second 10 or longer. It's just you can't have success there with that type of with those type of situations. Like, why not? Hey, let's, instead of trying to dial up the play and play sort of panicky, have a little bit of patience. And hey, second and seven's not bad. Second six isn't bad. Let's try to get to third and five, man. Third and five or less, and then maybe your playbook opens up a little bit more, and you're not putting so much pressure on your offensive line to produce. I think there's talent there. I think they're talented on the offensive line. I think they got some athletic ability. I think they're just being put in impossible situations. And I think it all stems from just the complete disorganization of what's going on the offensive side.
It was announced, I believe it was Tuesday, that Auburn gave up a home game next year to move it to Atlanta. What is the latest that you can tell us about that, please?
So, obviously, it came out at a weird time, but I talked to a lot of people, and they're like, well, when should we have let that out? Like, what if Auburn loses the next three? You know, then you let it out, and you're 3-6 or whatever it would be. There was no way that this wasn't going to have some backlash, especially from fans and then maybe local folks, local business owners. It's a tough blow there, and I can totally understand all of the concerns and the disappointment 100%, okay? Now, the problem is I think we still want college football to be the college football from 1995 and 1985 and, heck, even 2005. We still want college football to be that, and it's just not. It's just not. It's not that anymore. There is a new sheriff in town, and it is talent acquisition and money. And I don't think people really understand how hard it is to get this is something that I learned, that the $5 million number that's being talked about, that's minimum. there's upwards of like $10 to $12 million that could be earned, depending on, I'm assuming, what level of athletes you have and their social media following and what kind of posts they can do to pump up the game, what kind of reach that they could get. Like, I'm assuming there's a lot of those factors in play, but I don't think people understand how hard it is to just have, let's just go with $5 million. $5 million that's 100% approved, 100% ready to go, and 100% does not count against your rev share number. Like, that's hard. That takes a ton of small deals typically to add up to get to the $5 million. You get it, boom, in one fell swoop. Auburn's not going to be the only one to do this. Like, there's going to be a lot of teams down the road that I think are going to see this because this is supposed to be one of the first of their kind and sort of emulate it. So I see both sides of the argument. I see the local aspect. You know, this is not going to replace it all. It may replace a lot of it, but Auburn Athletics partnered with Peachtree Entertainment, and they're bringing in a concert series. They're going to try to sell out Jordan-Hare Stadium a couple of times and Neville Arena. You got six different concert dates lined up for next year that hopefully can help, probably not replace it all, but replace a lot of maybe some lost income there. So, It's a tough conversation, but you got to look at it through the lens of what college football is today and not what you wish it was back in like 1995.
Now, getting back to the game on Saturday, yep. We talked about the struggles of Auburn, yes. And all of the issues on offense, but here comes Georgia. But I will tell you right now, Kyle, this Georgia defense is horrid against the pass. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And that they recorded their first sack by a defensive lineman last week against Kentucky. This is the perfect recipe for Auburn's offense to finally get rolling against a really, really bad Georgia defense. Your thoughts?
This, by Georgia standards, this is by far the most gettable team they've had since maybe what, 2017 or 18. Like it's. I think this roster that Auburn has compares with Georgia's very, very well, almost all the way across the board. They're going to be. You talked about that defense. They're going to be starting, I think, a freshman offensive lineman. They've got a bunch of guys that are banged up. They've had a ton of bad luck on the offensive line. The table could not be set more perfect for Auburn to win this game. The thing that you just mentioned about the defense is what scares me a little bit, though, because that, yes, the perceived weakness is that they're vulnerable to the pass, and they struggle getting pressure on the quarterback. So my fear is we take that and we try to drop back to pass 40 times, and we see a lot of the same issues that we've seen. Jackson maybe holding the ball a little bit too long. Maybe we give them their second sack or third or fourth sack from a defensive lineman this year. I know that they're much, much better against the run, and they may stack it and dare you to throw the ball. I just think Auburn's got to look at this game with a plan maybe similar to they had in 2023, which was it ain't going to be pretty. It doesn't have to be pretty. The stat sheet doesn't have to look like a Ole Miss game in 2014 or 15. You just got to win the football game. You got to hold the ball. You got to control the game, reduce mistakes. And, you know, instead of Javarius Johnson and Shane Hooks in 2023 that you can turn to when you want to run a play action and hit a big pass, you got Malcolm Simmons and Eric Singleton and Cam Coleman. But really get Jackson focused in that run game and then take your shots. Be patient and take your shots, not continue to try to force it. I think that's going to be the key to this game.
Kyle, look, man, thank you for joining me, and please go and enjoy covering Auburn and Georgia for me, and we would love to catch up with you later on next week, and hopefully for the Auburn Tigers, they can finally get the bad taste of Georgia out of their mouth.
Yep. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it. Win, lose, or draw.
Okay. Thank you, man. Catch up with you next week, okay?
All right. Sounds great.
So, guys, that is going to wrap up the Auburn side of the Deep South's oldest rivalry. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Roddy Nabowski, hopefully I said that correctly, to talk about this game from the Georgia perspective. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. Kyle, look, man, thank you. That was all.
I'm sorry I got long-winded, but...
You're fine, dude. You're fine.
I've been getting more and more frustrated, and as I do that, I seem to answer questions a lot longer, but gotcha. I appreciate you. You're
fine. All right, thank you, man.
All right, bye.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch. Makes a bang into each other. Stays on his feet. Breaks a tackle. Scores! Scores! Scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Alabama football is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Two Dimes, Taco Casa, Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa, Mary's Travel Center, Catfish Heaven, Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's Department, Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers, and Townsend Honda.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. That's what we do. So, please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Attention. Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
And we want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with the Auburn side of the Deep South's oldest rivalry. And now we are going to focus on this football game from the Georgia perspective, as I am about to be joined by Roddy Nabulsi, who is a Georgia insider, to talk about this game from the Georgia Bulldog perspective. And Georgia has not lost to Auburn since 2017. They are on an 8-game win streak against the Auburn Tigers. Roddy, how are things with you over in Georgia?
Things are good. The Georgia fan base is nervous, but for me personally, things are fantastic. I mean, we're in the middle of football season. Couldn't be better. We wait 9 months a year for this. And even though there's sort of an ennui that has entered the Georgia fan base after seeing how their defense has performed, and they have a lot of questions. This is what we live for. We live for the rivalries. We live for this game that's been played 130 times. So it's everything's good here.
You just mentioned it. There is an issue with the defense. What do you think is attributing to that this season over in Athens?
Well, they can't get any pressure on the quarterback, and then they can't cover. So it's a chicken or the egg thing. Does the quarterback have too much time that he gets to pick apart the secondary, or is the secondary can't cover? And, you know, it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Georgia's one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to pressuring the quarterback, actually getting to him. And then they're also not very good at covering. And I know a lot of people are thinking, well, you know, that's not a Kirby Smart team. That's not traditional for him. And no, it's not. This is maybe his least talented defense that he's had since maybe 2016, his first year here. So it's an absolute concern. They're good against the run. They work all spring and summer. We asked Kirby Smart on the first day of fall camp, what did you work on the summer? He says, we've got to be able to run the ball and stop the run. And that they have. But no one expected the secondary to get torched so badly. And it's last two games, I mean, you look at what Joey Aguilar did. Well, let's say last three games. Joey Aguilar, Tennessee, torched him in the first half. He went 14-14. You know, Alabama in the first half against Georgia completed 7 of 8 third down conversions. Kentucky, who is just a god-awful football team right now, was able to move the ball through the air, big passes down the field. So if they can't get any pressure on Jackson Arnold, he's just going to absolutely pick him apart.
We've talked about the defensive issues. Now let's talk about the offense and Gunnar Stockton. What have you seen so far this season out of Gunnar Stockton that you're impressed with and some things you would like to see him work on?
Well, I'll go back to that first drive against Kentucky last week. I think he carried the ball 3 times and he can run it. He took a couple big hits, and I think that only just ticked him off, and he ran even harder. That last year with Carson Beck, Carson would run it occasionally, but there's so many times the defense has never thought he was a threat. So no one ever had to stay home, you know, on a play action or anything like that. They never thought he might keep it. You know, there was never any read options in the game that you were worried about. So I like the fact that he gives you that same threat that Jackson Arnold does. You know, running quarterbacks in college football are game changers. Look at Trinidad Shambles at Ole Miss. Look at, you know, any of the guys who are successful at some point, especially on a third down or in the red zone. You got to be ready for that quarterback, you know, the possibility that he's going to keep it. And, you know, he's done that. He's been very accurate. He has a very high quarterback rating. He turned the ball over once. In 5 games, that's pretty good. The flip side of that, what you want to see better is he is so concerned about not turning the ball over. Because Kirby Smart's a very conservative coach. He's not going to do anything wild or creative. He's going to win on percentages. He knows that if I can run the ball, then the chances of anything bad happening on a run are minuscule. Hand the ball off, as long as the guy doesn't drop it, we pick up 5 yards. He'll do that 60 times a game if he's getting 5 yards a carry until, you know, the defense, you're going to have to stop him. Throwing the ball, 3 things can happen. 2 of them are bad, so let's not do that. So Kirby's big on playing the percentages and winning football games, and it's 1 and 2 national titles and a bunch of SEC titles. So it's a formula that works. He learned it at Nick Saban's right hand. And that's he's going to demand that of his quarterbacks. And he's done that with Gunnar Stockton. He's like, do not turn my football over. Yes. Our defense isn't great. And if we give the other team extra drives, we will lose football games. To that point, when going through his progressions or, you know, things aren't open right off the bat, Gunnar Stockton, some people say he doesn't keep his eyes open downfield and he just tucks and runs, which, again, he's a great runner and nothing bad can happen if he's running and then slides. So But there are a few times where it's like, if he'd have looked up, he'd have seen he had a wide open, you know, seven route or a wide open nine or something like that. There's a crossing route where a guy was open. And if he'd have just held it or just seen him, you know, and again, maybe he just assumes that the other team's going to do what they're supposed to do and that that route is covered and therefore he's not going to throw it. But I kind of like to see him let it rip a little bit more. He did. And the one time we said that last week, hey, go ahead and let it rip, Gunner, he got picked off. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're going to play quarterback for Kirby Smart.
We are up against another break. And when we come back, we are going to dive into this year's matchup of Georgia and Auburn that is back on the plains at Auburn on Saturday. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly from Alabama's game against the Missouri Tigers. We'll do that starting at 2 p.m. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond, we'll talk to Martin Houston, and we'll take your phone calls on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sport.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's an 8-minute drive. And it's looking pretty good on westbound I-20 from Cottondale to 359, a 7-minute drive. West on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker, it's a 13-minute drive. Crews are doing tree trimming along McFarland at Campus Drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We are previewing the Deep South's oldest rivalry with the Georgia Bulldogs and Roddy Nabulsi. Hopefully I said that correctly. And Roddy, when you look at this matchup, with the Alabama game there for Georgia a couple of weeks ago. It didn't go the way of Georgia. Talk about the way that the Georgia fan base is feeling about going to Auburn, and especially with Auburn being in a desperate situation, being 0-2 in conference to start this season.
I mean, you need look no further than Florida last week. You know, they were in a desperate situation. They get Texas at home, crazy game at night, and they actually wind up winning it. Georgia fans can point to the streak, hey, you've won 8 in a row, but that doesn't get you an automatic first down. It doesn't get you 3 points on the board. It doesn't convert you a third down. It does nothing for you other than bragging rights. It has zero impact on this year's game. And you're going up against a quarterback who, I mean, I'll write a column later this afternoon. It's about, I'll do three observations, two questions, and one prediction. And one of the observations I'll have is how Georgia makes every quarterback they face, at least in the first half, look Heisman worthy. I mentioned Aguilar going 14-14 and the Alabama success. So Jackson Arnold's got his back against the wall. He has two great receivers that Georgia's going to have a very hard time covering, and Cam and Singleton. Singleton has, in the last two times he's faced Georgia, when he was at Georgia Tech, has just absolutely trounced Georgia secondary. And it's not like he's gotten worse. He's only gotten better. So they couldn't cover him before. I don't know that they'll be able to cover him now. The only shot that Georgia has is, you know, this is a Auburn team that has not been able to protect its quarterback. Yep. But Georgia's almost last in the league in sacks. They have no edge rushers. They have nobody who can get to the quarterback. They had their first sack by a defensive lineman last week against Kentucky. And it was a second string guy. It wasn't one of their starters. So they need time. And again, those two losses that Auburn has were both on the road against top 10 teams. This is a good football team. Georgia fans know it. Georgia fans are worried because Georgia fans know they don't have the pass rush and they can't cover. So they think, well, if we're in a shootout, do they have a lot of confidence in the offense? No. I mean, Mike Bobo is still one of the most hated guys in all of Athens. He's offensive coordinator. People blame him for stuff going all the way back to Mark Richt, but he's actually a very good coordinator and is putting points on the board. But they can only score 21 against Kentucky because they dropped a pass and didn't convert an easy fourth down. And, I mean, Georgia should have scored 35, but they only scored 21. And that's what you should have done doesn't matter. Auburn should have beaten Oklahoma, you know, and you had the whole thing with the refs there. So my point is this is Georgia fans realize this is a good Auburn football team and that they are desperate. They need to win. Georgia needs to win, too, but it's going to be on the road. It's going to be in a raucous stadium as they retire Cam Newton's jersey. A night game in Jordan-Hare is never where you want to go to win a game that you have to win. So the fan base is nervous, and they should be.
I do want to ask you about the fan base. Do you feel like that it is justified the way that they treat Mike Bobo? Because personally, I do not.
No, I mean, I'm often called a Bobo defender, and I did. I mean, I covered him when he was I've been doing this a long time. I covered him when he was a student, you know, a quarterback at Georgia. And I covered him as he came up through the ranks. My son grew up playing football against his son. You know, I've known him for a long time, but we're not friends. I mean, we're friendly, but I don't know him. I don't think I have his phone number. But I get annoyed when people bring up stuff from, like, the Richt era. I'm like, okay, when he was here, you know, Georgia did not win a championship under Mark Richt. They did everything but. And a lot of people say, well, that was Mike Bobo's fault. I'm like, he was scoring 41 points a game. Georgia did not have a defense. You know, Mark Richt is an offensive-minded coach. Georgia put points on the board. They couldn't stop anybody when they had their best chances. So, they put a lot of NFL guys in the NFL from the defense and offense, but they were never at the same time. Kirby Smart gets here, and he wins two championships, and the problem was he won it with Todd Monken.
Yes.
And a lot of people say, well, he's not Todd Monken. And I'm like, well, Todd Monken's struggling in the NFL right now. It's not like he's the greatest. And again, I just hate it when you compare him to Todd Monken, who had Brock Bowers, Stetson Bennett, Ladd McConkey, Darnell Washington, Amarius Mims, Broderick Jones. I mean, first-rounders all across the offense. And then you had the same thing on defense. You had that 2021 defense. They were all drafted. The 2022 defense, practically the same thing. You had two generational defenses that got you the ball back consistently and got you great field position. Georgia went games without a turnover. They're almost last in the league in turnovers. I'm pretty sure they're minus one on the year. Alabama's plus seven. So when you're not getting turnovers, you're not helping out your defense at all, you're not playing complimentary football, that's not your offensive coordinator's fault. Right. And again, I'm not trying to defend Mike Bobo. The best thing that could happen at my company, UGASports.com, would be for Mike Bobo to get fired. Because then I'll have a coaching search, and we'll have updates, and we'll have rumors, and we'll have how these interviews went. I mean, the coaching search for someone in the media is the best thing that can ever happen. It's going to get you a lot more readers, a lot more follows. So I have no reason to defend Mike Bobo, but my issue is, let's be fair, and if he's not getting the job done, you know, 44 on Kentucky on the road, put 45 up on, put 35 up on Kentucky, and he could have, and that his starters didn't even play the fourth quarter. So the guy doesn't have the same talent that Todd Monken had, so you can't compare apples to oranges.
Look, man, Roddy, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us. Go and enjoy covering the Deep South's oldest rivalry between the Bulldogs and the Auburn Tigers, and we would love to catch up with you later on this season to continue our discussions of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Hit me up and we'll do it again.
All right, so that is going to wrap up the Auburn and Georgia preview show there. I really do want to thank both guests for joining me this evening. When we come back on the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show, we are going to be doing a full recap of week number 7 of college football, including all of the SEC games, including the Auburn and Georgia game this weekend. So guys, go and enjoy watching your college football. Alabama has an early kickoff in the morning at 11 a.m. against the Missouri Tigers, and then a full slate of SEC games after that. Guys, we will catch you on the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show, and we are done. Due to time constraints here on the radio on Tide 100.9, we were not able to add all of the interview from either Auburn or Georgia. So if you would like to get more in-depth analysis of the Georgia interview and the Auburn interview, please visit my YouTube page, the Stingray Network, and you can find both of those interviews right there, because we were not able to air them on the radio due to time constraints. Hey, you.